If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and NewYouBeauty.com. Should mention our guest at 35 after the hour coming up. It's Melanie Gideon. She's the program manager for Operation Mend. It's a partnership between the UCLA Health System, the Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas, and the VA Greater Los Angeles Healthcare System. It was established about 6 years ago to help treat military personnel who were severely wounded during service in Iraq and Afghanistan. So it tries to combine the best of the military's resources with the skills of the UCLA health system and continues to serve as a model for other medical institutions that are interested in helping wounded service members of their families and their family members. We'll talk to Melanie. She's the manager and also a patient in this particular Operation Mend program. That'll be at 35 after the hour. Now then, after just 1 year, some schools around the country are dropping out of the Healthier New Federal Lunch Program, complaining that so many kids turned up their noses at meals with whole grains, fruits, and vegetables that the cafeterias were losing money. Reports of schools cutting ties with the $11 billion National School Lunch Program. This is the program that First Lady Michelle Obama was just so anxious to get into these schools, and she thought kids would eat the broccoli and the kale and the other stuff. But apparently some of these kids are rejecting it and throwing the food in the garbage can. And these schools are losing money, they say, so they're opting out of the program. Dr. Mike, what say you about it?
Well, we've had a fair bit of personal experience with it. And so let me give you an example. One of the foods that was made was a sandwich that was available for the school lunch program beforehand. It was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on white bread with the crust cut out. So in the program, you could still serve that exact same thing, but use whole wheat bread, that is 100% whole grain, and real peanut butter instead of the fake peanut butter. They had a peanut butter on it that was a little peanut butter, but a lot of emulsifier and a lot of sugar. So the company, instead of coming up with a great-tasting whole grain peanut butter and jelly sandwich, just didn't make anything. Well, that's pretty bad on the company's part. And I think the real problem here is that some of the food companies are trying to sell other things, and because they have very low profit margin in the school lunch program, they've always had very low profit margin, they've been unwilling to help with this because they understand that if you get the kids healthier, maybe they aren't going to buy as much outside of school. So I think this is really a corporate America sabotaging the issue problem.
The reimbursement, according to districts, wasn't enough to offset losses from students who began avoiding the lunch and bringing home food from home, or in some cases going hungry. Some lunchrooms ended, some school districts ended $100,000 to $150,000 in the red. Students repeatedly complained about the small portions and fruits and vegetables, for example, apples and pears, that went from the tray to the trash can. Why would they throw an apple and a pear out? That's what I don't get. Why would they throw fruit out?
Well, they got on their cart and they must have taken or put something on it or cut into it or something. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
But in any case, in the poorer school districts, you know, in those school districts where they have inner city kids, this seems to be working quite well. Now, part of the problem, of course, is that we've gotten used to so many calories. You know, if you're used to eating, when we looked at the Cleveland School District, the average kid got exposed in breakfast and lunch to 3,500 calories. Well, if you're eating 3,500 calories a day and you're in sixth grade, you're going to get fat. So now it's gone down to 1,150 calories. And, of course, the kids are used to bigger portions and junkier food, you know, the tater tots and the, if you will, the lousy peanut butter and the white bread sandwich. And it isn't, so they're, you know, they got to get used to it. The second thing is we went in one of these schools, Vitamix donated the mixers, and we were doing these wonderful morning, if you will, blasters, you know, with fresh fruit, etc. Well, the ladies who staff this weren't trained well enough to know what a raw banana was versus a ripe banana. And so the food didn't taste as good as when we were preparing it in the test period, because they included raw bananas in there. So you've got to, there is an education process that has to go with the cooks to make it taste better.
Which I think also makes the difference between the different schools that have had success with implementing these changes, because although there are some schools that are dropping out of the program, there are plenty of schools that are still doing just fine because they've adopted these changes.
Yeah, 96% are still, 96% of the school districts that have started it are with it. There is 1% that have dropped out and 3% that are considering dropping out, Joe. So it's not that it's been a total failure. And I think if we stay with it and keep pushing and push on the manufacturers to cook, to make things that are tasty as well as healthy, this will succeed and will help America greatly. And it is one of the triumphs. You know, if you look at it, childhood obesity plateaued this last year. That's the best news we've had in two decades.
I hope it works. And Mike, you like sports. You watch sports. You go to sporting events. You know, 80% of advertising on athletic and sporting events is about food. It's about food. It's about fast food. It's about wings. McDonald's is bringing out chicken wings for football season, only through football season. It's the fastest growing market sectors of the food industry. Sales of chicken wings topped $8 billion in 2012. The promotion of healthy food versus fast food, it's not on the same playing field. It's not in the same ballpark. There's a difference between night and day. And where people get their message from is corporate America. You're right about that. And my question is, can you force people to eat healthy?
It's awful.
Well, you can't force them, and you don't want to force them. But you can get food that tastes just as good, that is just as inexpensive, but is healthy. And that's really the trick that has to be done. So
it needs to be promoted better because, as I said, marketing, whilst on Madison Avenue, doesn't compare to how healthy food is promoted through basically news stories on news stations, on news programs, and articles and books written by health experts. I mean, the comparison between how you promote one entity and the other, it's just so far out of whack. It's going to be a tough battle. Not to say give up on it, but it's just very hard to counteract that marketing. The fast food industry creates an immediate need, you know, for someone to say, well, if I eat healthy tailgate food, or if I watch a football game tonight and I have healthy snacks, and by the end of the football season, I'll be healthier. Whereby, you've got a craving now for chicken wings. Go to McDonald's today and buy the wings. You know what I'm saying? They create an immediate need, and that's the effectiveness of their advertising. It's unfair. It's not good. It's not right. But it's a very tough problem that the healthy food industry has to deal with.
You are so right on, Joe. You are exactly right on. And it is a problem, and we need to help the food industry deal with it. But it is, you are absolutely right on.
Well, and the reality of it, though, is that the healthiest foods come from farms. And farmers don't have the same kind of advertising money to promote broccoli and apples and fruits and vegetables in general.
By the way, there's a great story about broccoli and the nutrients in broccoli and in all cruciferous vegetables decreasing osteoarthritis. So a portion of broccoli in this study actually decreases the symptoms of osteoarthritis and apparently decreases osteoarthritis promotion, that is the progression of it, over a short period of time. So it was one of the articles this week in the best medicine that I can see in the medical news, Joe. So if you've got pain in your joints, then don't have the wings, have the broccoli.
There's nothing but good stuff that comes out of eating healthy. It's just got to be a better way to deliver that message and counteract the message that the fast food industry just pounds at us all the time. Guest time coming up. It's Melanie Gideon. She's the Operations Men Program Manager helping out wounded veterans of current wars. That's our guest coming up right after the break on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.